Are you ready for your Bible question? Let's test your knowledge of the Bible. And so we're going to ask this question. The answer, I'll tell you where it's found. It's in Matthew chapter 22. But it's the time they came to Jesus and asked him what they thought would be a trick question. Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? Now, they were asking, is it all right to pay our taxes? And the Jews so despised the Romans that perhaps they thought if Jesus said, yes, pay your taxes, then the Jews would resent Jesus for going along with the Romans. But the Romans were so powerful that if Jesus had said, no, don't pay your taxes, well, they thought then they could bring charge against him to the Romans saying he's telling people not to pay their taxes. But Jesus was so much wiser than those who are asking this question to entrap him. Jesus asked for a coin. Now, I think the King James Version calls it a penny. The American Standard Version that are being used for these Sunday school lessons calls it a denarius. And on that coin, there was an image. What was the image on that coin? Now, that is the question. Well, we'll read that from the Bible in just a moment. The Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. All are welcome to all of our assemblies. I am Bill Boyd, the preacher at Rock Cliff, and the superintendent of this radio Bible school. Now, do you know the answer to the question? They brought Jesus a coin, and Jesus asked, whose image is on the coin? What did they answer? Whose image was on that coin? Let me read it to you. It's in the lesson text. I read it, Matthew 22:15-22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might ensnare him in his talk. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Teacher, we know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth, and carest not for any one, for thou regardest not the person of men. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, Why make ye trial of me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a denarius. And he said unto them, Whose is this image and subscription? Now that's the question we're asking. Whose image was on the coin? We find it in Matthew 22:21. They say unto him, Caesar's. So that's the answer. If you had thought in your mind, well, I think that was Caesar's image on that coin, then give yourself an A+ for the day for the Warren County Radio Bible School. You are a good Bible student. Let me go ahead and read the rest of this. Verses 21-22 of Matthew 22. They say unto him, Caesar's. Then he saith unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God. And when they heard it, they marveled and left him and went away. The Sunday school lesson comes from this text. These are Sunday school notes E.A. Elam wrote for the Sunday schools of February the 28th, 1926. And this is one of the annual temperance lessons. Let me read this note. Temperance, as we know, means self-controlled, not simply abstinence from intoxicating liquor. This lesson, being on respect for law, furnishes a good temperance lesson, because respect for law requires self-control. If all people practiced self-control, there'd be no criminals, no breaking and dodging of the various laws of the land. We have written at different times that which the Bible says on self-control and against all intemperance, and cannot do better than that now. The reason so many temperance lessons are given is because it is so greatly needed. The greatest lesson of life is to learn to control oneself. The greatest victory of life is to conquer one's passions and lust. This is the one great fight which all have to make, and where so many fail. Famous are many victories of many wars, but the greatest of all is the silent victory over self. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Proverbs 16:32. This was embedded in Paul's subject before Felix and Drusilla, an unrighteous and prolificate pair. He reasoned of righteousness and self-controlled and judgment to come in Acts 24:24-26. Temperance is embraced in the fruit of the Spirit in contrast with the works of the flesh. And they that are Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof, Galatians 5:16-24. It is one of the duties and virtues essential to an entrance into heaven, 2 Peter 1:1-11. We are impressed most seriously with the vast importance and absolute necessity of self-control by Paul's famous declaration, "And every man that striveth in the games exerciseth self-control in all things. Now they do it to receive a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not with uncertainty, so fight I, not as beating the air, but I buffet my body and bring it into bondage, lest by any means, after I have preached to others, I myself should be rejected." 1 Corinthians 9:25-27. If Paul thus keenly and sensibly realized that he must keep his own body under, we should as fully appreciate the importance of doing the same. Christians are not to be temperate in all things because some things they are not to do at all. They cannot steal temperately or lie temperately or give away their temper temperately or drink temperately, etc. They must eat temperately, sleep temperately, work temperately, and in all things so control their bodies as to make them fit temples for the Holy Spirit and to be saved in heaven. Much is said, too, against the use of intoxicating liquors, because this feature of intemperance is a fruitful source of so many other sins and of so much suffering and shame. A drunkard brings suffering and trouble, poverty and want upon so many innocent ones. Almost every kind of sin will spring from drunkenness, and no drunkard can inherit the kingdom of God. Parents cannot impress upon their children too seriously the evils of strong drink and the dangers of indulging in such. The only safe rule is to touch not, taste not, handle not this great enemy of our present comfort, peace, and prosperity in our souls. Note how much is said, both in the Old Testament and the New Testament, against strong drink. Now let's look at the explanatory notes. We read in verse 15, there's an important question. This is Matthew 22:15. Namely, is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? The chief priest and the scribes and the elders, the leaders or rulers, felt the force of Jesus' teaching against themselves and sought to kill him. But they feared the multitude, who were astonished at his teachings. They then left him for a while and sent a delegation of Pharisees and Herodians that they might ensnare him in his talk. This was a plot, for they took counsel how they might do this. The Herodians were a Jewish political party rather than a religious sect that adhered to the Herods and favored Roman rule and therefore the payment of tribute to Caesar. In order to condemn Jesus, the Pharisees joined with the Herodians. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? Should Jesus say not to pay tribute to Caesar, he would incur the disfavor of the Herodians and would be a cause of rebellion against the Roman authorities. Should he say pay tribute to Caesar, that would bring him in disfavor with the multitudes to whom the Roman government was a yoke of bondage and who stood in the way of his destruction by the scribes and Pharisees. They urged him to answer, saying, shall we give or not give? They could see but one of two answers, yes or no, and it would serve their wicked purpose for Jesus to answer either one. Well, Jesus then gives a lesson on our relationship to civil government. We read this lesson in several places. Let me read to you some of the places that are mentioned. This, it is here. It's in Romans chapter 13. I'm turning now in my Bibles to Romans 13, verses 1 through 7. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, and the powers that be are ordained of God. Therefore he that resisteth the power withstandeth the ordinance of God, and they that withstand shall receive to themselves judgment. For rulers are not a terror to the good work, but to the evil. And wouldst thou have no fear of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise from the same, for he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is a minister of God, an avenger for wrath to them that do evil. Wherefore ye must be in subjection, not only for wrath, but also for conscience' sake. And for this cause pay ye tribute also, for they're ministers of God's service, attending continually upon this very thing. Rendered all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. We read something of our relationship with civil government in the book of 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. I exhort therefore first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving, thanksgivings be made for all men, for all kings and all who are in high place, that we may live a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and gravity. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who would have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. The next place we read is in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 3 through 17. If ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Let's see if I got that. This is 1 Peter 2, 13 through 17. Let me turn there. Be subject to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether unto the king as supreme or unto governors as sent for him, for vengeance on evildoers and for praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that by well-doing ye should put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, not using your freedom as a cloak of wickedness, but as bondservants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Repeatedly, we are showed that we are to have the relationship of Christians to civil governments. At the time the New Testament was written, their relationships to governments now ought to be the same, and that their relationship to such governments will always remain the same. For the benefit of the student of this lesson, it's necessary to add the further teachings of the Bible on this subject. And that's what we're going to do in classes that are coming. Make sure to listen in again for the Warren County Radio Bible School.